It's Colorado Matters from CPR News. I'm Ryan Warner. Mark Twain once described the South Platte River as a shallow, melancholy stream. But 50 years ago this June, it became a deadly torrent.
Now we go at 10:30 on KTLN Denver to Tom Griffiths. Tom?
We have to get out of here. The water has just gone over the 6th Avenue Bridge as a result of this log jam that's at the base of this bridge right now, and the water has gone over.
The old Hampton Avenue Bridge finally went out.
The Denver flood of 1965 claimed 21 lives and damaged or destroyed nearly 2,000 buildings. And as Alan Prendergast writes in the latest issue of Westward, it helped shape the city we know today. And Alan, welcome back to the program.
Good to be here. Thanks, Ryan.
Give us a sense of just how big this flood was on June 16th, 1965.
Well, it was something that just was beyond anybody's experience in Denver. The Platte had flooded exactly once in the previous 100 years. There had been problems with Cherry Creek on and off, and they thought they'd solve that with the Cherry Creek Dam. But what happened that night was a combination of things. There had been a very weird set of weather for some time, a lot of storms, a lot of hail, and then this absolutely unprecedented rain that had occurred that day starting in South Douglas County, I mean, really south of Castle Rock. There's a little creek that goes through Castle Rock, a tributary of the Platte called Plum Creek, and it was going ultimately at a flow of 1,000 times what was normal.
1,000 times?
Yes. I mean, over a course of 4 hours, they had about 14 inches of rain, and this creek just went berserk. By the time it hit the Platte, it had already gone through Castle Rock and Sedalia and wiped out a lot of bridges. And then the Platte became this monstrous thing spreading out over the countryside and taking out everything in its path. I mean, it was just something Denver had never seen before.
I mean, as you describe it, it sounds like there might have been some warning, right? Because it's coming from this other place and lurching towards Denver, but that's not necessarily the case.
Well, there was some warning in the sense that they knew this thing was coming. I think by 5-6 in the afternoon, they knew this was going to hit downtown Denver by 8 o'clock. There was this 15-20-foot wall of water that was just heading into Littleton. And so there was the chance to do some evacuation. There was the chance to do some preparation. But there was a lot where you just – I mean, there isn't much you can do. Keep people away from the bridges. Keep people away from the river. And basically, it took out every bridge up to Colfax as it came through Denver.
And we should say that this is, of course, before Chatfield Dam was built.
Yes. I mean, Chatfield is exactly where Plum Creek hits the Platte. And there had been a study 20 years earlier saying you really need a dam over here. And it never got built until after this flood.
Oh, wow. Tombstone technology, in a way.
Well, I think there was no political will to do it. I mean, the river had just been ignored for 100 years. And that's one of the themes of what we got out of this was that suddenly people were thinking about what do we do with this river that goes right through the heart of Denver and that for years we've just used as a sort of sewer. I mean, it was a dumping ground. It was not developed in any way, any coherent way. And a lot of that came back to haunt the people the night of the flood because in addition to the force of the water, you had this incredible debris flow.
And you write so much about this in the article. It's the debris that gets clogged and caught up and becomes really, really powerful.
Well, yes. As you were heard in that segment you ran from the radio broadcast that night, there was like a lumber yard up against the bridges. I mean, there were all these fuel tanks, things from the rail yards, cars, houses even, smashing up against these bridges until the bridges finally couldn't take anymore and they went under.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. And 50 years ago in June, this June, was the Denver flood of 1965. It claimed 21 lives and damaged or destroyed thousands of buildings in the city. And it helped shape the city that we see today in Denver. You write about a dramatic boat rescue on the river.
Well, yeah, and this is even more dramatic because you never think about Denver as being a place that you would require maritime rescue.
Exactly.
But around, you know, you think about the highway, what used to be called the Valley Highway, I-25, where it goes near Alameda. There's a sort of a natural depression there. And the river swamped that entire area to the point where the streets from about Santa Fe to Tejon was a complete raging river. And the police were looking for boats to try to rescue people who were trapped on top of buildings. And some of those buildings were being swept away. There was a guy named Fisher who was a Mountain States telephone employee who happened to have some experience boating rapids and brought his motorboat over, and a couple of policemen got into the boat with him. And essentially they went into the heart of the flood and rescued people for hours. They probably saved 16 people that night just going back and forth in, you know, and this was dangerous work because you're 10 or 15 feet deep. There's cars, there's bricks, there's all kinds of debris smashing up against the boat. They could have been swept away themselves. But this guy turned out to be a very excellent captain for this kind of water rescue mission.
Do you know how many lives they saved?
His own account, which I found in an archive, talks about 16 different people that they pulled off of different buildings. Which is pretty impressive. And they ran into Mayor Kerrigan later that night in a coffee shop who looked at these cops who were just totally covered in mud and wanted to know what was going on. And I mean, he knew the flood was going on, but he didn't know what they had done. And he asked them to write him a full report, and they ended up giving a citation to this Fisher for bravery for helping the police out. I mean, it was really remarkable. There were a lot of heroes that night, but this guy kind of stood out to me.
What's also remarkable are some images from this flood, which you found, I think, in the Western History Collection, in part at the library. We have some of those at our website, cprnews.org. And so what impact did the flood have on downtown Denver in particular?
Well, you know, it's kind of hit the rail yards. It hit the Tivoli, the brewery, and certainly swamped a lot of that.
This is where Auraria is today, the Auraria campus.
And frankly, the Auraria campus is one of the things that came out of this because so many structures were damaged in that area. There was an urban renewal campaign, and it narrowly passed. But it basically said, let's turn this area into this urban campus as one of the many improvements we want to do as a result of this flood.
There had been a lot of housing there.
Yes.
Lower income housing.
Yes, and some of it had been badly damaged, but probably not as much as this campaign made out, because for years the Denver Urban Renewal Authority had wanted to do something like this, and the flood became an excuse, I guess, to do that. But more importantly, it really changed over time the way we thought about the river. They built Chatfield Dam. We had an urban flood control district established. And the river itself began on a very long cleanup. It didn't happen all at once. It was probably 10 years after the flood that the first really serious efforts to change the Platte into some kind of recreational area began.
Yeah, high-priced real estate today.
Yes, it's amazing when you think of it, just comparing the pictures from 65 to what we've got now with a lot of these high-rises along the river, all these parks, the Greenway Foundation, all these things that have happened. It didn't happen overnight, but I think there was a rethinking of what this river could mean as an asset to the city.
So you grew up in Denver, didn't you, Alan?
I did.
Do you remember the flood?
My own memories are pretty dim. I was probably I was 8 years old. What I remember most is the power going out and the sense of powerlessness, literally and figuratively, that we experienced that night because, you know, you were used to the idea that, we were such a progressive, forward-thinking society and Denver was such a wonderful place and nobody ever thought about the river. And then suddenly everything went dark and there's flooding everywhere and you feel kind of helpless. You feel like, wow, this is like, something from the 19th century. How could this happen in Denver in 1965?
Which leads to the question, could something like this happen again in Denver, or is the dam infrastructure good enough that it wouldn't?
Well, there's a couple interesting questions about that. I don't think it could happen the same way. Plum Creek could not do what it did because we do have Chatfield Dam.
Yeah.
But if you look further downstream, there are other tributaries to the Platte, like Sand Creek, that are not so controlled. And in the 2013 flood, if you look at what happened over in Stapleton, I mean, there was inundation of Westerly Creek, some of these other Platte tributaries, just because of the heavy rains that happened then.
Yeah, and there were some pretty dramatic scenes in Aurora, too, I think.
Yes. And right now, the Army Corps of Engineers is looking at Cherry Creek Dam, which has been there for 65 years without incident. I mean, the spillway has never been tested. But they're saying if there's a dramatic enough event, there could be a topping of that dam, which would be disastrous now because of all the development that's occurred since that dam was built. So, I mean, it's a remote possibility, but everyone before the 65 flood thought that could never happen. So, I mean, we're seeing our weather patterns changing, climate change and all of that. It's getting more difficult to model these things in a way that you can have 100% confidence.
Did you find a lot of people who remembered the flood in Denver?
Well, there are a lot of folks who've been here for a long time and who do have some memories of it. Many of them were children at the time, so their memories aren't necessarily, that comprehensive. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting stories out there. I mean, people who remember the flooding of Centennial Racetrack and the whole effort to get the horses out. People who remember, even in parts of town that were not directly affected by the flood, all those days and days of heavy rains had just overwhelmed the storm drains. And I talked to someone who remembered body surfing in Hilltop, some things that you would, parents would just freak out about now. But of course, back then we didn't have quite the same level of attention to what kids were doing moment by moment that we do now. And, this person was looking back and saying, I'm amazed that I think about it now and I'm horrified that I did it, but it was a lot of fun back then. You just didn't know how serious and how dangerous what you were dealing with.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Alan Prendergast is a writer with Westword. His article, What We Lost in the Flood, about the 1965 Denver flood, appears in the latest issue. Again, you can see photos and film footage of the flood. It's quite dramatic at cprnews.org. This is Colorado Matters from CPR News.